Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here. And just in the few moments that I've been here, you've been so welcoming and so friendly, and just met a lot of great, nice people. So thank you for allowing me to do that. They said, my name is Chad Minette. It's my wife, Jill. She's actually from around here in the Cookeville area, so some of you might know her a little better than you know me, and that's okay. But I'm here to not so much tell you necessarily about Manna, but about a little bit of why it is what we do what we do. But before I do that, I did want to start with a prayer. So let's pray. God, thank you for this morning and for allowing me to be here, and I pray that you speak your word and you open my heart to speak the word that you put on my heart, and that your voice be heard among or above all else. And it's through your son's name that we pray. Amen. So like they said, I've had a few chances with John and Mark to talk a little bit about manna, and they've told me about their conviction and some direction that they want to explore missions a little more. And that is incredible. That's an amazing thing. And I'm not here to tell you at all that manna is the only way to do that, or we're the only people that are doing that. But the mission that God has put on our heart is a mission that he has had for us since the beginning. So we work for an organization called Manna Global Ministries, and I lived in the Dominican for about 6 years. That's where I met my wife, Jill. She lived there for about 4.5 years, and we don't live there full time right now, but we still work with them, and we go in and out a lot and training some of the other missionaries and working with the kids as they go along. But to tell you a little bit about who we are, I put this verse up here, and we want to take this verse seriously. We take seriously some of the last words that Jesus said, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Because ultimately, we are followers. We're disciples of Christ. That's what we're called to be. That's who we are. But we're called as disciples to make disciples. And so what we want to do and what we want to be a part of is God's mission, not something that we're a part of, not something that we've created, but God's mission to be disciples who make disciples. So an even quicker overview than earlier, of what we do is this. And I think this represents kind of the flow of, and a good progression of what it is that we do as a missions organization. We do a lot of different things, but we have a children's home. That's that picture you see up there in the top left, where we take in orphaned, abandoned kids, and we give them shelter and food and a home and a family to be around. We also have a high school, and actually kind of the story of Manna goes that we were a humanitarian organization, and about 7 years ago we felt the call and heard the call to be more intentional in our efforts to be evangelistic and disciple the kids that were in our ministry. So we started a high school, and you might, what does a high school have to do with that? But the high school is designed to be intentional, and they have built-in time to have group discipling and one-on-one things to work with the students that are in that. But as we finished high school, or as the high school was, the first graduating class was coming to the point where they were going to go off to college, as you might remember, or as you might have kids in that area of life, we believe that this is a journey. It's a spiritual journey. And we didn't feel like after they were finished with high school that we were ready to say, adios and good luck. And so we want to, instead of now holding them, walk beside them in their, and hold their hands as they go through college, because, again, as we all know, college is one of those many times in life that is a good time to figure out who you really are and who your, what your relationship with God really is like. But that can be really hard, and it can take you through some trials that can be really, really hard. So we felt the call to walk beside them and to hold their hand through that. And yes, let them be more independent and free, but continue to walk with them on their journey, their spiritual journey, as even as they continue to get their education, which is a secondary benefit of it. And there's a piece missing. We're in our second year in Santiago, which is that bottom left one. That's the college ministry. And the piece missing is the next piece. And it's missing because we don't exactly know what that is. But we know that even as we kind of held them and introduced them into this spiritual journey, and now as we're holding their hands and walking beside them, we're feeling the call of the next step to get behind them as they become the leaders of the discipleship movement in their communities. And we don't know what that looks like exactly. We have a few years, I guess, to figure that out, but that's what we're looking to, and that's who we are, because it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships with them. It's all about us being committed followers of Christ and to making committed followers of Christ. That's what missions, we think, is all about. And as I talked with some of your leaders about what that is, that's the best thing I can tell you. Not anything about manna, but God has put us on a mission. And I love the mission that you're on, and I love the mission that God has called us to. And as I was thinking about what exactly to share with you about this and in relation to what's going on here, I love your focus on the Sermon on the Mount. I love the Sermon on the Mount, and I love what it represents in Jesus' pure words of a life that he says you can actually live like this. And what would the world be like if we actually loved our enemies and if we actually did all these things that he said? And as you know, and as you've gone through this, Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount and he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." And I think about that and what Jesus said and how he started that. And we use that word blessed a lot, in a lot of different ways. And Jesus uses it here, and he said blessed are the poor in spirit and the meek and the merciful and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's not exactly what the world says is blessed. We kind of use this hashtag blessed of to be blessed with things and with opportunities. And I think those things are blessings, but there's something deeper here in what it really means to be blessed. And when I think about what it really means to be blessed, and if I look at those last two, they're the ones I don't like the most, because they hurt, but he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And when I think about those two, I think about a story, in the Bible that we see, and it's the story of Stephen. And it's kind of weird. I don't know how to get there, and I hope I can explain to you how I got there. But the story of Stephen is a really interesting story to me, partly because we only see like the last chapter and a half of his story. We miss all the first part. And sometimes I wish we had that first part because I want to know how he got to that point. But when we're introduced to Stephen in Acts chapter 6, he's described as a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And that is incredible. What an incredible way to be described as a person. I hope I can be that. I hope that we are all striving to be people who are described as someone full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And right after that, it even describes him in chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. He was so full of the Spirit and so full of faith that these people, religious people, couldn't be around him. They couldn't stand being around him because he was so full of the Spirit. And ultimately, Stephen gets two reactions out of this, two reactions out of his spirit and what he and who he is. And he gets arrested, and then he goes on the speech. And the speech at first might seem a little weird. He goes back and tells the story of a lot of the patriarchs of the Jewish religion and talks about Abraham and Moses and Joseph and all these people. But at the end, he says, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, says, you stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Again, this is a man who is just full of faith and telling them how God has always been in their presence and the Spirit has always called them to be a part of his kingdom and be a part of something greater. And he's saying, you have always resisted the Spirit. And he steps on their toes in a major way of these people who are religious people. And from there, he gets two reactions. The first one, in chapter 7, verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. Have you ever been so mad? I can think of a few circumstances where I've been so mad, you just grit your teeth and clench your fists, and you're just furious. That's what these people were at him. They were furious with him. They could not stand the Spirit around who Stephen was. And the result of that was they're so angry that they stone him. They kill him. But there's another reaction to Stephen in this, after he gives this speech. In verse 55, it says, and he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Most of the time when we get a picture of Jesus after he's ascended into heaven, we see him sitting at the right hand of God. But that's not what it says here. It says Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. And if I get that image in my head and I try to picture what's going on here, is Jesus or Stephen is about to be killed. He's about to be stoned. And he looks up. And if I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God and he stands up, what is all of heaven going to do? Stand up. And they stand up as Jesus stands up. And Stephen, in the last moments of his life, gets stoned on one side, on one reaction, and then on the other side gets a standing ovation into heaven. As Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because yours, Stephen, is the kingdom of heaven. Now that is incredible. That he would be able to see and have the hope in Jesus that, just as John talked last week about, we have these steps, we have this life that we live, and we have this God who believes in us and the gospel and what that is, but we have to have hope that we can connect those two things. Because the life that we live is not always hashtag blessed. It's not always easy. And God actually never promises that. But he does say that there is hope that in the end, you will be blessed. And I think Stephen knew what he was fighting for. And he was fighting for something that he believed in so much, that he had so much hope in because he believed in Jesus, that it was worth dying for. And I guess that's a question for myself and a question for you, for all of us. Are we fighting for something we're dying for? Do we trust in something so much that we believe the gospel so much that we have this hope that no matter what happens in life, that the world might not consider blessed, that we're going to fight for it no matter what? That we're fighting for something that ultimately is worth dying for? And I pray that as an organization, that as a church, that we're doing that. And that's what I think missions is all about. Fighting for something worth dying for. Fighting for something that you believe in so much that no matter what road it takes you down, you go down that road. I said earlier in the class, and I'll say it again, but I had no idea the commitment I was getting into when I signed up for missions. I thought I was going in for a couple of years. I'm glad I stayed longer than that. But I thought I was going in for a couple of years and going to do something cool and fun. And I ended up, well, I still work for MANA, I guess 8 years later. And I had no idea that a commitment to that was going to be a commitment to watching these kids in their spiritual journey for a long time. Because ultimately it's a journey and it never ends. And when I think about that hope that we have, that hope that connects the gospel and our lives, I think that is what this is all about. So I want to share with you three stories. These are just three of the many students that are in our ministries. And the picture on the left, the same three kids, but the picture on the left is when they started high school. I think it was actually the summer before we started the high school. And they were a part of the first class, so they were part of the first graduating class. And the picture on the three pictures on the right were their graduating pictures, I guess, 4 years later. Now they're sophomores in college. But I wanted to share their stories because what I think missions is about and what I think ultimately the Great Commission that Jesus gives us to go in the world and make disciples, what it is about is giving them hope and showing them that there is a journey to be a part of God's story. Just as Stephen was a part of God's story, because ultimately that's what it is, it's God's story. Just as Stephen was blessed, even though the world, from a worldly perspective, it ended pretty poorly, but ultimately to get a standing ovation into heaven is a pretty big blessing. Ibelka is the girl on the left. And Ibelka needs hope. Ibelka is one of the brightest, hardest working students I've ever seen. And she worked so hard and she's studying or wanting, she's kind of in the pre-med and now in college. But Ibelka comes from a place where going to college, much less med school or anything like that, it's just not an option. Her parents didn't have the means to help her do that. And even more so on top of that, has a lot of baggage in her life. Sin around her has affected, I mean, sin affects the world, as we know, and sin has affected her community, which in turn has affected her. She needs hope of somebody telling her she's worth someone fighting for. And she's worth so much more than people around her say she is. And God can use someone out in the middle of nowhere to realize her potential to be someone that God uses. Renacito, the boy in the middle, his story is a story way too common in the Dominican. He grew up with his grandparents when he was, after he was born, his parents just didn't want him. And he moved in with his grandparents when he was pretty young. His mom died, and he didn't actually know that his mom had died right when it happened, found out a little bit later. His dad couldn't take care of him, saw him once or twice a year. And Nene, Renacito, needs hope. Because with all of that story and all of that baggage comes the people who most in the world should have wanted and loved him didn't. And so he sometimes believes he's not worth it. And sometimes believes he's not wanted. So he needs someone to show him that he does have value. And even when there's the people that most in the world should want and love you, even when they don't, we still have a God that does. And God still puts people in our lives that love and value you. The boy on the right, his name is Christopher. And Christopher's story is less common in that he did grow up in a home with a mom and a dad. But the unfortunate commonality that then comes with that is an abusive father. And Christopher, his father was dealt with drinking a lot and then took it out on Christopher, which is just awful. And he needs hope because one, he wants to be the man that God has called him to be, and one day wants to be the husband and father that God has called him to be. That's not his father. And he needs people around him to show him that he doesn't have to be that. And there's hope in the gospel of Jesus that says you don't have to be your father. You don't have to continue this cycle of abuse in this family, in this community, in this world. But he needs people around him that tell him, and he needs people that show him and point him to the gospel that says you can be different and you will be different. And when you have Jesus and that hope in your life, you don't have to turn out just like what happened to you. These are three stories of people, of three stories among many of people who just need hope. And they need Jesus. And they need someone to walk beside them and show them that God loves them fiercely. And God loves them so much, he's going to love them through all of the bad things that have happened to them. And yes, they're going to struggle with that as they move forward and figure out how to not be that. But God loves them and is showing them a different way. So that's what we are. That's what I believe missions is all about. We're fighting to show them hope. We're fighting to point them to the gospel. We're fighting to show them that they are blessed. And we're fighting to show them that at the end of the race, even when their life wasn't hashtag blessed, like the world says, but at the end of the race, they have the chance to see Jesus giving them a standing ovation and saying, yours is the kingdom of heaven. So I don't know what that means to you. I don't know how that speaks to you. But that's the journey that we're on. And ultimately, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, that's what I think that means. I think it means to go in and give hope to Ibelka and Renacito and Christopher and so many more. And so I don't know where you're called to be a part of that mission, but what I do know is that you're called to be a part of that mission. Maybe not in the Dominican. Maybe it is in the Dominican. Maybe it's here in your community. Maybe it's somewhere else in the world. I'm not here to tell you where God's calling you to go, but where I am here to tell you is that he calls us all to go in the world and make disciples. And so maybe you're ready to start that journey of being a committed follower and disciple of Jesus and to be baptized into that family and to be a part of the family that's trying to be on that mission to go in the world and make disciples. Or maybe you've just lost hope and you need the hope and the prayers of your family. I don't know. But what I would like for us to do is I'd like for everybody to stand. Go ahead and stand and listen one more time to Jesus' first words of the Sermon on the Mount and just picture as Stephen got a standing ovation in the heaven. That is the hope that we have for Jesus to stand there and say, yours is the kingdom of heaven. That's what we hope for them. That's what I hope for myself, for my family, for you, and for everyone in the world to hear Jesus say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others persecute you or revile you or utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I want to pray, and then we'll sing. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the hope that we see in you, the hope that we find in you, and God, for stories of people like Stephen to see that your word of blessing is true. And as we picture how Stephen got that standing ovation, we're incredibly humbled yet blessed to know that we have a hope to receive the same, to walk into your kingdom as you give us a standing ovation saying yours is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for the church and the trust and the faith that you have in us as the church to go on that mission and to be the change and to make disciples in the world. I pray for everyone here, including myself, that as we hear your words, that we're convicted and we're changed to be the people that you've called us to be. And so your son's name we pray.